Today's scripture reading will be coming from Mark chapter 7, verses 18 through 23. That's Mark chapter 7, verses 18 through 23. And it reads, "And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man."
It's good to be here again as we come to study a portion of what God's Word has to say to us. We are eternally grateful for those who are visiting with us. I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guests, and for that we're thankful. This month, as we continue our theme, I gotta think about our theme. Awaken out of sleep and arise into righteousness. Arising out of sleep and awake to righteousness. Sorry about that. This month, we're gonna be talking about the heart and heart issues and how to heal the heart. And the more I thought about that over the months, and especially this week, I've been thinking about some of the teachings of Jesus and how Jesus dealt with different hearts. He dealt with hearts like John chapter 4, the woman that was at the well. And remember the question he asked her. He said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you're right, for you have had five husbands and the man that you're with now is not your husband. That was a heart situation going on. But then he would deal with situations that were not necessarily sinful or sinful at all. John chapter 5, first couple of verses. Come across him as he deals with that man at the pool of Bethesda. Remember, he had an infirmity, a sickness, an illness for 38 years. Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to be made whole? That was the question. And he said, well, every time I seek to get into the water, someone goes in before me. But Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to be made whole? But then we notice in John chapter 8, there is a situation where they had these religious men who brought this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And he's sitting there, he's having a dialogue with her. Here's the point already for the foundation of our study for the month. Is that Jesus found himself talking to sinners. He found himself talking to those who were affected by some type of ailment, not necessarily sin. But we know it all goes back to sin because of the garden. Again, when we consider Jesus being around sinners, people who are not walking according to the standard of God, we would have to ask ourselves, as followers of Christ ourselves, what type of influence do we have on people whose hearts have either been defiled by sin or ailed by illnesses? Can we help either one? So much confusion is in the world today. As a matter of fact, over this past year, our nation, especially a few states, have legalized abortion up to the third trimester, even to birth. Friends, that's a heart issue. It's a sin issue. this past week, the Methodist Church had a conference. And in that conference, they sought to legitimize homosexuality from a religious perspective that even those in the world are scoffing at. The reason why I bring these two points up, and I have many more, is because these things create doubt in the minds of people. They cause people to become distant from spirituality, religion, morality, uprightness, right? Causes people not to trust in the Word of God. And it puts those who are unholy and those who are holy on equal playing ground. And that's false. And we know that's false is because God is holy. And God wants us to be holy too. But the only way that this could be right, you have to change definitions. You have to change standards. You have to change what you believe the Word of God is teaching. It's unfortunate that in our nation today, and it's flooded the Lord's church, that many are beginning to even compromise and give thought to it. Well, maybe they have a point. Maybe we're being too hard. Maybe the Church of Christ is legalistic. Could it be that we just want to please God? When I consider these things, friends, I consider other things. I consider the lack of discipline in parenting and parents. I consider how individuals are failing in their marriages. People living together but not married. People having a desire to make money rather than a desire to be godly. People focusing on their own lives instead of focusing on the life with Christ. Yet Jesus in Mark chapter 7 has something to say to these Pharisees and Jews in Mark 7 verse 3. And he includes the Pharisees and scribes in Mark 7 and verse 5. The religious leaders of this particular time that they're getting on Jesus because his disciples are eating with unwashed hands. They are esteeming their seeming laws, if you will, against the laws of God. They're esteeming what they believe is correct instead of esteeming what God says is correct. They are looking more at the outward instead of what Jesus was looking at, the inward. The physical over the spiritual. So I pondered this and I've been thinking about this, and the reason why I'm starting the way that I'm starting, because I don't want anyone to think that we're being mean. There's nothing mean about this. As a matter of fact, hate speech is not saying anything at all. That's true hate speech. And the reason why we say that is because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say. And in order for us to be able to interact or act in any type of way behaviorally, we have to have a command from God, some type of principle, example. So Jesus, as he is dealing with these religious leaders, he turns to his disciples in verse number 18, as Mike read so aptly. And he says to them in verse number 18, notice what your Bible says. Mark 7 and verse 18. Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive or understand that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? because it does not enter into his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. We consider the heart. The heart is not bothered or disturbed by food or drink, if you will, water. Here, Jesus makes it clear that whatever goes into the mouth, that's not what defiles him. It's what goes into the heart, into the mind, the soul, the will, the intellect. This is what defiles a man. Look at verse 20. He says, what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart, a man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. As I was studying for this and thinking about some things to consider for us, these things may not be any of our vices. We may not struggle with none of them. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't. But the world that we live in does. And yet Jesus finds himself, Brother Rick Popejoy, smack dab in the middle in John 4 of a woman who had multiple husbands. Right in the middle in John chapter 5 with a person who had ailments and infirmities. Right in the middle of a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. He didn't shy from them. As a matter of fact, he challenged them. He challenged them for the better. Shouldn't that be us too? Shouldn't we challenge people and one another to be better? So let's look at some of the things that Jesus spoke of, and we're not going to spend much time, but I want to give you some working definitions for everything that Jesus says, because more often than not, when I'm reading Mark chapter 7 and looking at the things that Jesus said there that defile a man, that comes out of his heart, I'm just reading past them because in my mind I know what they're talking about. But notice, look at verse number 21. For from within, out of the heart, proceeds evil thoughts. The word thoughts there is the Greek word dialogamos. We get our English word dialogue. There is evil dialogue in the minds of men. Adulteries, sexual relations with someone other than your spouse. Fornication comes from the Greek word porneia or pornography. Illicit sex. Murders, the killing of innocent individuals. Taking life out of envy, even through vindication. Or anger. Thefts, which is stealing or borrowing without asking. Covetousness, desiring that which is forbidden. Unbridled lust. Wickedness, plots or evil purposes against the moral standards of God. Deceit, not telling the whole truth with the intent to mislead. Crafty. Lasciviousness, unchaste handling of males and females, dirty dancing, nude behavior, filth, evil eye, visions, literally the mind that misses the mark, blasphemy, speaking evil against God or man, pride, haughty attitudes, arrogance, foolishness, not wise in behavior, thoughtless, reckless. All of these characteristics or behaviors, they surround us, do they not? We're around them every day. And the reason why I want us to talk about the heart and its healing is because if we're around this every day, we're susceptible to even take on some of those mindsets. Amen, friends. If you're not careful, you could take on some of their mindsets and don't even know until you're way over here. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. You can drift. because seemingly it's nothing wrong with it. But friends, this is why the Lord's people, the blood-bought Church of Christ, members of the church who have been baptized into Christ, this is why we have been brought out of the world to go back into the world to demonstrate morality in the midst of an immoral world. What a great opportunity we have. And the reason why, again, we start off with John 4, John 5, John 8, is because Jesus did not run from those opportunities. As a matter of fact, he ran to them. We talked about insulation, not isolation. That we insulate ourselves with the Word of God, the will of God, the purposes of God, in order for us to go out into the world to demonstrate to people that you can take the Word of God, you can apply it to your life, live it out in your life, and you can remain unsoiled, undefiled, even in the midst of a defiled people. It's possible. We can do it. We must do it. We can do it. So, when we consider these characteristics, they surround us. So this lesson is designed to help us recognize those struggles that people go through, and sometimes even us, that we have to clean it up, that they must clean it up. Do you know, friends, that it's okay for you as a Christian? Listen, please. It is okay for you as a Christian to tell those who are in your circle not to use foul language around you. That is okay. And if you keep that up, our association will come to naught, meaning nothing. Well, Brother Bon, I work around these type of people. Even that, you can say, I'm a Christian. I don't use that language. I don't think and talk like that, unless you do. It's okay. And the reason why it's okay, friends, because our Lord doesn't speak like that. Amen. Our God doesn't speak like that. And so therefore, he desires for us to purify our hearts, to purify our minds. So number one, how can the heart be cleansed? Number one, the heart must be cleansed through repentance. It has to be through repentance, which is a change of mind, which leads to a change of life. And as Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them, are you still without understanding? You don't perceive the things that I'm talking about? Now he's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to the religious leaders, the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes. He's talking to those who's been following him for a short period of time thus far. So number one, this heart must repent. Six things I want us to take notice of under point number one. Number one, in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 22, there was a man by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. Remember, he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. Don't have time to spend a lot of time with him. But something that Peter says that I love and we ought to love too, and it's okay if we find ourselves in a defiled state, and at times we do. At times, the laundry list that is found from the very mouth of Jesus in Mark chapter 7, also from the mouth of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 5 verse 19, those laundry lists of sin. Romans chapter 1, forgot about that one. Every now and then, we find ourselves in those things. Life is not over if that's the case. You can repent. You can turn. You can go back to God. As a matter of fact, that's why we preach. And that's why we're out there in the world demonstrating to people that I too used to be like that. And I've repented. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, notice what your Bible says. Start at verse 20. But Peter said to him, your money, it perished with you. Because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. Some people still think that today. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. For your heart, notice what he says. He didn't say your money was messed up. He said your heart is not right.
And that's the same thing that Jesus was speaking of, if you will, in Mark chapter 7. This is what defiles the man. This is what defiles the heart. It's what's coming out of his actions. His actions defiled his heart. It is a sign of defiled heart. He says, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of your heart be forgiven. Number one, repentance, which is going to lead to forgiveness. Repentance and prayer. Number two, in 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9, we notice that the heart must repent. And when the heart repents, there's something that takes place with it. Friends, we ought to be telling people that I see that you're living like this, and I understand what you're going through, because you're doubting the will of God, you're doubting the word of God, and you're doubting your self-worth. Sometimes people don't even know that they're doing that. They got to be told, they have to be taught, they have to be explained to, if you will. But when one has been explained, and this is why we as Christians have to be walking in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and notice the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, notice, cleanses us. So when we confess and we repent, there's a cleansing that takes place. That I can get rid of this defiled heart. How can I have my heart, my mind, my emotions, my will, my intellect, how can I have that cleansed and cleaned up? Friends, I gotta walk in the light. I gotta confess fault. I gotta realize what I've done. Look at James 5. Look at verse 16, 19, and 20. Real quick, don't have a lot of time. But James chapter 5, we see something very powerful. God himself has made provisions for the church. That when the church, when members of the church do something that is defiled, that is wrong, sinful, they can make things right. And truth be told, we ought to welcome it. We ought to embrace it. Many congregations of the Lord's people don't. It's sad. Because being healed, being made whole, is the ability to do that. If I cheat on Evelyn, I ought to be able to say, babe, I cheated on you and I'm sorry. Now I've got to suffer the consequences. So I'm a smiler, but which means I might have to sleep in my own bed for a while. Might have to deal with those things for a while. I might have to look at a face that's crying for a while. I might have to. But friends, that's who we live with out here. And we want to be able to tell them the gospel can even save your situation. And sometimes it's in the church. And notice what he says in verse number 16. Confess your trespasses, your faults to one another. Pray for one another in order that you may be what? Healed. Friends, he's not talking physically. You go to the doctor for that. You take medicine for that. And he's talking spiritually. He's talking about someone who is homologeo, who is saying the same thing that God has said about his trespass, his fault. In order that you may be healed, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Drop down to verse number 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, he's talking about a Christian, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. It's okay to say, okay, I messed up. I've done wrong. I've defiled my heart and my actions are proving it. But I'm ready to make it right. And when the heart becomes defiled, and imagine talking to someone who is outside of Christ and now you're teaching them from their particular lifestyle, from where they are in life. Acts chapter 8, I believe it is, with the Ethiopian treasurer. Here we find Philip, and he's preaching from the scripture in which he was reading Jesus. I want to take your situation and where you are right now, and I want to take you to the Christ. He can forgive you. He will forgive you. So we see healing there. We see a soul being saved in verse number 20. We see conversion in verse number 19. We see the hiding of sin in verse number 20. Six things we saw already. We saw forgiveness. We saw cleansing. We saw healing. We saw conversion. We saw salvation. We saw hiding. I believe that many, and I've been there, I'll go ahead and say it. I've been there. I know how it is. You want to hide your sin. But as soon as you expose it and reveal it, you're free. I truly believe that many today, I mean, you can just get off some of these pills if you just expose it and move past it. Maya, I'm not trying to mess up your job. I know we have counselors and stuff like that, Raphael. You got to help people like that. But sometimes people just need to hear the truth about their situation. And then have an honest and good heart and make a decision. Friends, this is gospel preaching right here. And that's why Jesus came, to make people whole, to heal them, to make sure that they can be saved and converted so their sins can be hidden. It was never our job to hide our own sin as Adam, as Eve. God will do that based upon the way that He has prescribed. Through the blood of His Son. Number two, we talked about the heart must repent. Number two, exposure to sound doctrine is vital. It's not enough just to be exposed to doctrine, but to be exposed to sound doctrine. The word sound means to be well, to be in good health. Metaphorically, Christians whose opinions are free from any mixture of error. Wholesome words, according to 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 3, which is according to godliness. Sound words, as Paul would say in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 13. Sound doctrine. According to what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3. Brother Bono, what are you teaching us? That it's important for us to get words from God who has sound Himself about my situation, about my circumstance, about what's going on in my heart. And then I'm on the way to healing, to being made whole, being saved, converted, having my sins hidden according to the prescription of God. What a good God we serve. No wonder it's good news. No wonder when Jesus died on that cross and He was raised on that third day, and He comes to His disciples in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through verse number 20, and He tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The euangelion, the good news. You tell them that the risen Savior is on the ground today. And you go out there and you tell them that they can have their sins washed away. And they can raise the victory flag and they can come home to me. Praise God. We've got people living in sin and they don't have to. Brother Velton said this morning that his life is good. I appreciated that. Life is good when you're walking according to the will of God. It's good. And even in the midst of some sinful situations that may surround us, even in the midst of infirmities like in John chapter 5, even in the midst of situations that I find myself smack dab in, I can get out of it. I can move past it. Friend, that's gospel. That's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's one church. That's exactly what it is. Because in order for you to do that, in order for you to believe that, you got to want to come out of immorality and stay in morality. So Jesus gives these great characteristics. God is good to us. Jeremiah will say it like this. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, It's not in man that walks, that lives, to direct his steps. What are you saying, Jeremiah? I need you to live by. I need your standards. Solomon would say, trust in the Lord, lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. David would say in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Friends, shouldn't we allow God to do that? Now, we talked about some very egregious sins, if you will. Abortion, homosexuality. Let me make this point real quick. God has never been okay or never winked at homosexuality. Amazing. He winked at adultery. He never winked at homosexuality. That's interesting. In Genesis chapter 19, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for it. Under the law of Moses, in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 and following, he told his people Israel, it's an abomination unto me. In Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through verse 26, he says, this is unnatural. God said that. Under the patriarchal system, Mosaic system, yea, Christian system. That's interesting. He has never winked at that. But he's winked at other things. David had multiple wives. God winked at that. Israel committed idolatry. God winked at that. And now he commands all men everywhere to do what? Repent. That's interesting. Friends, I'm not smart enough to make that up. That's interesting. But that, and when the Methodist Church came out with that, they're wrong anyway, but when they came out with that, what they're doing is it's causing more doubt. They're causing doubt. And this is why the gospel teacher and preacher, Popejoy, Brian, Stephen, Randy, and the list goes on, Royce, Dennis, all of us who are teaching the word of God, we have to make sure that we instill faith in people. We dispel the doubt. We say that you can know, and Jesus said, you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's true. Shedding of innocent blood. Psalm 106, verse 38, God hated it. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17, God hated it. And friends, shouldn't we hate that which God hates? Yes, yes. So Jesus comes with this list in Mark chapter 7 and the things that defile a man. So I'm talking to myself and I'm saying, Mike, do you fit any of those categories? Because if you do, you got to clean that up, son. Now, I'm talking to myself. I ain't talking to none of y'all. That's how I talk to myself. Call myself son. Son, you better clean that up. Why? Because God wants me to. The gospel demands it. The gospel prefers it. The gospel commands it. You see how I said that? Not only did it demand or command, it prefers. It's for your best interest. Everything that Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, listen, friends, they cause disruption in people's lives. They do. And what do we see in our nation today? What do we see across the world? And what are we taking to the world? We're taking them the good news that you can come out of that. You can stop doing that. You can have the proper heart. You can be healed from that. So number three, we must rise in our education. Amen, friends. We must teach our children the difference between God's teaching and man's teaching, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. We must teach them the difference between the holy and the unholy, lest we become like Nadab and Abihu. Our children must believe us enough, not doubt us, that what we're saying to them, based upon the Word of God and our consistent behavior before them, they must believe that we have their best interest at heart. Mama used to always say, boy, if your friend jump off the bridge, you're going to jump too? I so sometimes wanted to say, yeah, but I knew she would slap me. So I said, no, ma'am, well, stop that. That's the truth. She would use something extreme so I could get the point of something minute. So if your friend leaves the church, you're going to leave. If your friend goes out and cheats on their spouse, you're going to do it too? If you're going to go out there and be a thief and a robber, you're going to do that too? And Jesus is saying, don't do that. That goes against the gospel. The good news, the glad tidings, that which enhances the life and causes you to be a moral individual, upright, not according to the United States of America, but according to the Holy Writ. Who cares about the Constitution? I care about what the Bible says. This is our Constitution right here. It's been once and for all delivered unto the saints. So we have to call things what they are. Isaiah 5:20. We can't be like those in the days of Elijah and Baal. 450 prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18:21. How long will you halt between two opinions? Make up your mind. Jesus is teaching us, make up our mind. We're either going to follow the gospel or not follow the gospel. We're either going to allow our hearts to be healed or not allow them to be healed. We're either going to get past the hurt or not get past the hurt. And God has said, I want you to be whole. Oh, what if the Ninth and Main congregation, all of us really just set our minds on saying, you know what, I had some things happen in my past, and I know that they're bad, but I'm going to get past them because the Word of God says I can, and I got these brethren to help me, and I'm not going to take no for an answer.
You don't understand, Brother Barnum. Try me. I ain't got to sit here and tell you everything I've been through to know that God's power, it works. But I know this, I can't afford not to apply it. I can't afford not to. Neither the world can either. I'll end with this. God wants us to be a people to rise out of sleep and allow the healing process to take its course as we arise out of sleep and awake to righteousness. And it's tough. It's hard sometimes because we got to get past the sentiment. We got to get past our mentality. We got to get past all of the pain. Yet God can help us in the midst of all of that. That's why He gave us the church. That's why He gave us His Word. That's why He gave us 24 hours, 7 days a week to meditate and work and love on one another and correct one another and be there for one another. We're the church of Christ. What a beautiful place to be in. It's a beautiful place. It's the kingdom of heaven on earth where Jesus Christ is ruling on the right hand of the throne of God. Make an intercession and mediation that when I go to God in prayer through Jesus Christ and offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God, God hears me. Why? I love you. I want what's best for you. We live in a time where people say, well, I got a degree from the School of Hard Knocks. That's nothing to boast about. It's nothing to brag about. I know how it is, and elders, don't fire me. I know how it is to want to take a man's life and try it. And y'all do what y'all want to with that. That's not the life to live. The life to live is to see a man do you wrong, and you pray for him. And you let good overcome evil. That's the life to live. Jesus said, you can clean that up. But you can't clean it up if you're doubting that He can help you with it, that the church can help you. that the gospel can help you. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the gospel. It is God's power to save. But not only that, it's God's power to transform. It transforms minds. And it causes us to have behaviors that are proper and holy and just and right. Let me open up my Bible one more time. I won't keep it long. He said, that man opened up his Bible again. We got one that don't mind. Where am I? Go back to Mark chapter 7. Let me show you something real quick. And those things that defile a man. Verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of man proceed, let's switch it up, holy thoughts. Can we have holy thoughts?
Yes. What's the next one? Faithfulness to your spouse. What's the next? Holiness in your singlehood. Love. Working or giving instead of theft. How about for covetousness? We're not designed that which is forbidden. If anything, we're designed that which is lawful. A covet your prayers. Wickedness. We want to be good. Deceit. We want to tell the truth. All of the truth. We don't want to hold something back. Lasciviousness. There's no dirty dancing. Unchaste handling. You know, that's another thing. I'm probably going to get in trouble with a couple of y'all. You know, I want to go to these dances and stuff, and they're out there doing all that. Well, I'm shaking going on, man. Y'all better watch yourself. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and talk to y'all younger parents now, so when they get to middle school, they want to go to these proms and stuff and dances, you better watch it, because that's what they're doing in there. Lost some of y'all, but an evil eye. How about having a holy eye? Meaning your mind is pure. Blasphemy. Speaking against God. How about praising God and worshiping God and honoring God? Pride. How about humility? Foolishness. How about instead of being reckless, why don't we be a people who are thoughtful? Find the right. We want to be just made old. Be a blessing to someone this week. You let someone know that is in these categories, and you don't have to be like that. And at night and day, we can help you. Because if we can't, you might as well shut these doors and we go somewhere else. We can help. Maybe not a child of God. Maybe not a Christian. Jesus said something about becoming a follower of his. Number one, if you love him, keep his commandments. You got to hear the gospel. You have to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must be willing to repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Guess what the sinner is? He's made whole right here. All of his past sins are washed away. He's now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And now he's walking in the newness of life. Be faithful. And God will give you the crown of life. And maybe the child of God needs special prayer. Repentance. Maybe you fit some of those categories. You know. You know where you are. I know where I am. As we sang, as we sing, as we sing.